And as we continue to follow Hurricane Arthur, let's go now to the big story in Murrieta, California.
A real handle on what this is costing us out of our pockets. And please, use the word illegal aliens. They came across here illegally.
More than 700 residents showed up at a town hall meeting there last night, angry that the Department of Homeland Security has been trying to transport migrants to a Border Patrol processing center there while the government works to figure out a way to handle the influx of young people coming from Central America unaccompanied. The rhetoric is heating up on talk radio. Here is a clip from today's Armstrong and Getty show on AM 760 KFMB in San Diego.
Everything about this story is misleading. They're escaping their extra horrible circumstances. They're no more horrible than they were a year ago or 2 years ago.
And by the way, one note on that note, if I might, Border Patrol agents are reporting that all these people are operating off the same script. You have people who don't speak a lick of English saying, I have credible fear of violence.
Right.
That they've learned to mimic.
Yeah. It's interesting. Somebody got them the talking points that they've memorized in English.
Right.
And if you repeat those, then you get in.
So how much influence do these programs have on the debate in Washington and around the country about immigration? Joining us to talk about that is David Folkenflik, NPR's media correspondent. He's with us from New York. Hi, David.
Hey, Jeremy.
Well, let's get to another clip here first. This is Glenn Beck speaking on June 10th, claiming that the border crisis is part of a plot to pass immigration reform and ultimately return Arizona to Mexico.
I'm warning you right now. Mark my words. If it lasts 5 years, they'll say exactly the same thing. You know what? We should just give them their own state. We should just Arizona. What do we do? Look at all that land. Just give them Arizona. We took it from them in the first place. That's land that we stole from Mexico. You mark my words, it's coming. They are making a Palestinian plea, and you're watching the beginnings of it right now.
David, is that representative of what's being said?
Well, it's just amazing to hear Glenn Beck tell us to mark his words. You know, it was not so many days ago that he took the seemingly astonishing step of saying the liberals and other critics of the Bush administration were right and he was wrong when it came to the Iraq war.
Right.
So, you know, his words can be marked and we can come back to them. I don't see us handing over Arizona anytime soon. There is some extreme rhetoric that you've heard on talk radio, particularly among anti-immigration, conservative talk radio hosts. I think that's what we're talking about in particular. And the rhetoric is strong. You hear words like flood and invasion of illegal immigrants and stress on the word illegal, as we heard at the top of your introduction. You know, really heightening concerns about disease, about the an influx of criminals somehow slipping in among more worthy refugees or people crossing the border illegally. And this, you know, is it informing the rhetoric in conservative circles? I would say it is, but I wouldn't say it's dictating the terms of debate at all.
Well, what kind of audience are these shows having these days? We think about in the public radio world, you think about the drive times as being the big times for listeners in the morning and in the evening. But on a lot of these talk radio shows, it's the middle of the day and they've got huge audiences.
Well, you know, national radio audience stuff in the commercial world is a little squishy because they play them all different times of days at times and they're shifting and what have you. But, you know, Rush Limbaugh is still the top rated radio show in the country. He is, as you say, more middle of the day or afternoon. You know, Sean Hannity, who's best known perhaps as a Fox News radio talk show host on TV to much of America, is actually an extremely popular radio show host. Limbaugh perhaps being the only one in the country that clearly has a larger audience than NPR's drive time shows of Morning Edition, all things considered. But Hannity is pretty close right up there too. Limbaugh, you know, the number's nebulous. Maybe you consider around 15 million, maybe Hannity a few million less. And then you have other people as well. You have Michael Savage, you have Ann Coulter, you have Mark Levin, you have others. Conservative talk radio really took off in a way, I think, above and beyond what has been accomplished on the left side of the dial, although there are some liberal talkers as well.
And still taking off?
You know, people are still listening closely to what they have to say. You know, Glenn Beck, we mentioned as well. You know, you think of him from his colorful, almost carnival-like show on Fox News. He's an incredible broadcaster, and he took that to be a subscriber system with the Blaze TV. But he still has a radio show that has a lot of devotees as well, a lot of people listening closely. I think it serves less to persuade and more to activate people who are like-minded, and that a lot of people listen for provocation and entertainment. moment, but that there are moments where these things can be really influential.
Well, and one of those moments, it appears, was the Laura Ingraham show in Virginia with Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader's loss in his primary race in Virginia. He lost to Tea Party candidate Dave Brat. Let's listen here to Laura Ingraham's program after that.
The power of conservative media to link good candidates with their constituents, to educate the constituents in ways that the dominant media culture, the dominant elite political culture will not do. There are a few pieces written a couple of years ago about how talk radio was dead. I have three words for you. In your face.
David, there she is with a strong defense of talk radio's influence.
Right. Well, here's what I would say about that. That's a very interesting case. Laura Ingraham and also Mark Levin, radio hosts, not only introduced Brat to a national audience and elevated him, they also went and raised money for him very directly. And by coming to the district and showering attention on him really elevated his profile. They also forced him to take much more of an interest in immigration as an issue than I think he would have otherwise done. He's more of a Ayn Rand free markets economist. He's a professor actually there, but he decided to take immigration seriously because of them. But I still think if you really look at talk radio in this day and age, it is one strain among many. It is one note in a much larger melody of conservative voices in the blogosphere. You have Newsmax, which is also a news site, but also has a huge list of hundreds of folks on their email lists. And of course, cable news, which didn't exist 20 years ago, Fox in particular. So you have a lot more voices there where radio is influential, but it's not dictating the terms of the discussions that go on.
David Folkenflik, NPR's media correspondent. Thanks so much, David.
You bet.
And let us know what you listen to on conservative talk radio if you do at hereandnow.org.